Thank you. I have to say that light there is really bright. So in a way, it's kind of good because I can pretend that there's a ton of people in the audience. I really appreciate all of you staying and hanging in there. I know you're probably going to be catching some flights and or having some margaritas, which is what I plan to do a little bit later. But what I'm going to take you through today is how to build a winning sales stack. And the first question really is why? Why do we even need a sales stack? What's the purpose? And most of you in here, I'm guessing, are on the marketing side. So if you think about why does, you know, what does sales need from you as a marketer? You know, there's a number of things, right? Just think about it for a second. What does sales need from you? Did anybody think of leads? Content? Those are kind of typical things that we know sales wants from marketing, right? But I want to elevate it up a little bit and think about it from a higher perspective. What our goal is as a sales organization is really to sell more. And we want to do that in less time. Hopefully, we can do that at the right price. Ultimately, to the right end. So that might mean good corporate citizenship. It might also mean happy, satisfied customers. And then, although we don't really talk about it often, what sales leadership and organizations really want is to do it with fewer salespeople. And even if it's not with fewer salespeople, it might be just more revenue with the same amount of salespeople. So this is really what we want. Leads and content helps us get there for sure. But this is a context to keep in mind because we're not getting leads and we're not producing content for its own sake. We're doing it so we can help the sales organizations with these things. So what kinds of technologies do we use to make that happen? Well, we've all seen the MarTech stack for many years now. It's up to 5,000. And there's just a little square in there with a whole bunch of sales tech logos on it. I believe there's somewhere around 300. We went ahead and produced our own sales tech landscape this year. We did not include CRM solutions because one of the things that kind of bugs me personally is when I ask people about their sales tools, they tell me what CRM they have. And there's so much more than CRM. Typically, they say we have CRM and we have Marketo. And Marketo's not really a sales tool, but I'll give them that. So we produced this sales tech landscape, and we do have it categorized. I didn't want to just put a whole bunch of logos on, although it's interesting, and it makes people feel good, because now you realize, now you realize why you feel so confused, and probably don't feel quite as bad about it. But I wanted to see if there was a way to prioritize what sales tools you should be using, and to use this and to organize it in a way that helps you do that. So there was another person, I think about it in terms of priorities and hierarchies. There was a very famous person, obviously, that had his own hierarchy, Maslow's. And if I think about the sales stack and the sales tech world and the jobs to be done, sell more in less time, at the right price, etc., what would that mean? What's the staying alive level or equal on the sales stack spectrum? Does anyone want to take a guess at that? What's the most important fundamental thing you have to get right to help produce revenue? Data. Okay, that's a good one. Anyone else? Okay, so data is good, and if specifically, if we think about data in terms of who is it we're trying to sell to, right? We're not just getting up every day and making phone calls for nothing. We need to figure out who we're supposed to sell to. A lot of people talk about that. Right? What's your persona, et cetera? But we have to make sure salespeople get that information and that they have the technology they need to get it quickly. So that might mean, can I log into a database and do a quick run based on certain filters. It might mean that you as a marketer should really produce a full, territory, list out, who are the accounts in any given territory. Who are the people within those accounts? Who should they be, what should they be selling to those accounts based on your own portfolio? So there's a lot of different technologies that can be used there. If you don't get the who to sell to and why right, then nothing else matters. So it doesn't matter if you're growing crops, if you're about to get eaten by a lion. So that's the stay alive version for the sales tech space. The next version is level is when and how to engage. Okay, now I know who we're supposed to engage with. How are we going to get them to actually communicate and interact with us? And I know there's Ardith Albee was talking earlier about what you call it, activation hubs, I think, so that you can really get people to engage. It's hard to get people to want to answer the telephone. It's hard to get them to want to respond to an email. So think in terms of the technology that can help salespeople do that. So the third level up is why buy and why should we buy from you? Do we need anything? Is the status quo good enough? And if it's not, then why you versus some other vendor? That's communicating value in a way that the entire buying team can understand. So that's the third level up. And then the fourth one is, we've done all that hard work. What if it doesn't close? That's the worst thing. In fact, it can take longer to lose a deal than it takes to win a deal. And that's heartbreaking because you put a lot of resources and energy into winning a deal that you end up losing. So that's a lot of lost resources. Anyone want to take a guess at what the self-actualization equivalent might be? How do we get them to buy again? So now we've got a sale is made. How do we keep them happy? How do we sell more? How do we get them to renew? And how do we upsell and cross-sell? With that in mind, this is the framework, the sales capabilities. This is what sales needs. Yes, you want to give them leads, you want to give them content, but here's a framework to think about it, and we can think about the technology from that perspective. Now, Maslow's only had 5 levels. There's actually 2 more important elements that maybe a sales rep doesn't need, but a sales organization certainly does, and that's how do we manage the organization, how do we forecast, how do we develop the reports, et cetera, and how do we continue to develop, coach, and onboard sales reps. So together, that's the framework. We call it the sales stack hierarchy or the sales capabilities hierarchy. Now, we're going to get into a little bit of a complicated kind of model. This is what we call the sales stack maturity model. And you'll notice that down the left-hand side are the same headings as the hierarchy. What we've done across the top is said, well, that's great. If I need to make sure I've mastered who to sell to and why, where am I at today? How capable am I today? Am I at a white belt, blue belt, brown, purple, black? Where are we today? Because that's the thing that we want to nail first and foremost. So if we're a white belt, we probably want to do something different than what we're doing today. And you can go down the entire list and look at each of the levels. Let me just go back. We've listed some different technologies underneath each one of these capabilities levels. So that'll give you a feel. If you're at the white belt level, then maybe what we want to do is go to the blue belt level. And here are some of the types of technologies that can get us there. If we're at the blue belt level, maybe we want to get to the purple belt level. What you're looking at here is the typical. Okay, so the industry is not really all that I mentioned earlier. People say, oh, we have CRM and we have Marketo. So we're not very sophisticated still from the sales perspective, so much as I think still focused on, you know, the new exciting things like ABM, which is certainly important, developing leads and good content, that's important. I think what's here in the sales stack to actually help sales further down the funnel and help them with their complete process is the next wave. So if this is the typical, where do you think you fit? Do you think you fit kind of along the typical stage? How would you really know, right? So I'm going to actually ask you to put your thinking hats on at the end of the day today, the last day of the session. So you have some worksheets. I'm going to give you a minute for each exercise. There's seven of them, and they correlate to the hierarchies. I think the checklists are good because you can say these are the types of capabilities or functions that we should be able to do as an organization. And if we can't, then let's fix it. So take a minute and check the things that you think you've mastered well. I'll let you know when a minute's up. Okay, a minute's up. Just before you go on to the second exercise, let me ask, were there any surprises? Were you thinking at all about, gosh, I hadn't thought about that, or I thought we really had that nail, but now that I see it in a checklist form, we don't? Anyone have a comment? Okay, so we're going to go on to the second exercise, which is when and how do we get them to engage? Starting to get to be a little bit of a bigger checklist. So go ahead and take a minute to fill that one out. Okay, if you didn't get to finish it, obviously you can take these sheets with you. And I would also encourage you to present it to your team and talk to them about it. What else should we add to these checklists? Are there things that maybe are appropriate to your organization that I wouldn't have thought to put here that you should be listing? Okay, so we're going to go to exercise three. We probably won't have time for all of these, but I want to continue as long as we can. Let's take a minute for exercise three. Okay, I'm going to call it a couple minutes early, or a couple seconds early here. One of the things that is listed on this checklist is things like mapping out the political landscape. And of course, you marketers are familiar with this to some degree because you're used to thinking about personas and what kind of content you need for that. But there may be some tools that sales needs for them to be thinking about it. So they can come to you or they can find and make use of the content that you've already created. I've heard a lot of stats here that, you know, some wild percentage of content is never used by salespeople. But if they were able to do some things like political landscape, mapping, understanding sentiment among the different buying group members, then they might realize how much more important some of the content is that you're creating. Okay. I think I'll skip ahead because I just want to make sure we have enough time, but take these back with you, as I said, and think about whether or not you're really covering everything for your sales team. All right, so now we're going to flip the hierarchy, the sales stack maturity model that I talked about a second ago, and we're just going to put, now we're going to look at one level at a time. So we've got someone to sell to, who we're going to sell to and why across the top. This is what this particular matrix is focused on. Down the left is, okay, what's the type of technology that I would be using if I'm at a white belt level? And then, what are the types of capabilities that that technology has? Now, white belt's pretty simple. I'm sure you guys are following right along here. But then there's some examples of the technology that might fit for that. Then as we go up to the blue belt level, what does that look like? So maybe now you've got some lead list building tools, and certainly at a blue belt level, you'd have web visitor tracking. And then again, those are the types of capabilities and solution providers. You're all sophisticated. I would say, you know, someone to sell to and why from a marketing perspective, you're probably all at least at the purple belt level. And many of you are working towards the brown belt level. That's what a lot of this conference has been about. And again, the technologies down below. Because it's one thing to understand where your weaknesses are in terms of capabilities, and then it's another to understand, okay, then what? How do we make sense of it from a technology perspective? So we wanted to create and put together a bit of a roadmap and a tool that you could use internally within your group so that you had a framework to talk about it and to think about it. Okay. Data cleanse and append, believe it or not, I mean, I kind of would put that at the black belt level. Maybe it should be at the brown belt level and those two should be switched. It's not exact science, but we wanted to kind of get close enough. But certainly you want to keep your databases clean and you want to do things like be able to point out to salespeople at the earliest possible moment when their good client leaves the company. And that's not a typical cleanse and append type of capability. That's a monitoring and watching for triggers and being able to present that to your salesperson. Now, the second level, how to engage and when, same thing. You can go from white belt all the way up to black belt. We've listed out what some of those capabilities are, and again, the technology providers. Has anybody stopped by Conversica's booth? We have them over here in the black belt section as one of the technologies. Anybody? Anybody dealing with massive volumes of leads that they want their salespeople to get to, and maybe their salespeople aren't able to get to all the leads, and so you worry about the lead database going bad or old or stale? They're a really interesting kind of technology for that. It's an AI bot that will actually do the initial follow-up, and they come across as human. And so we're talking about if you have, you know, 1,000 leads and 2 salespeople, or if you have 500,000 leads and 50 salespeople, or 100 or 200 salespeople, why not use that sales capacity in a more optimal way and have the bot be the one that reaches out and attempts to get the message? And then that is the first level of qualification. So those are some of the things to think about that you may not know is available when you think about sales tools. Again, to not just think about CRM or how your marketing automation fits in with CRM. So we have the why, buy, and from you. We're going to give I think everyone's going to get a copy of the presentation. Do we know? Okay. And feel free to ping me if you want to make sure you get a copy, and I'll send that off to you. The very last one, how to up, cross, sell, and renew. You'll notice that the white and blue belt really don't have a lot in them because it's an area that you're either more sophisticated at or you're not. There aren't a lot of tools that don't require you to pay anything or that are kind of at the beginner level. And got management, admin, skills development, measurement, and reinforcement. So I wanted to just give you, you know, two frameworks, actually. The hierarchy, the sales capabilities hierarchy. We know salespeople want leads. We know salespeople want content. But why? What are we really trying to help salespeople do? We're really trying to help them sell more in less time, the right price, to the right outcome. And ultimately with fewer salespeople, so you can increase profitability and drive more revenue per salesperson. So if you keep that in mind and then start thinking through, well, what are the things that we have to do in order to be able to accomplish that? I think it's a good framework to help you think about the sales stack. I probably should have had a copy of the sales stack at the very end here. I want to just go back to that. Sorry, I'm going to have to flip here a few throughout my builds. Okay, so let's bring it home. We're going to bring it all home. Oh, okay. All right. So this is the sales stack as I presented at the very beginning. What I want you to notice now is that across the top, the red headings, those correlate to the hierarchy levels. So the very first one on the top left is who do we sell to and why? And the next one over is how do we get them to engage and when's the best time? And you might notice that the first two make up more than half of the landscape before you get to that third red column heading. And it makes sense because those are the two most fundamental objectives. Needs of a sales organization. And so therefore, a lot of the investment has gone into these first two levels. And we're seeing a lot of competition. I mean, there's, I don't know how many sales enablement solutions. You've probably all been contacted by each of them as well. And it gets very difficult in terms of how do you decide. My advice to each of them is to put out a document that says, give me the 10 things that I should ask every sales enablement provider when I'm considering a sales enablement solution. I just throw that out there to you because you can ask them for that if they don't have one and they don't give it to you. Another thing you can ask them for is what are the 5 or 6 or 10 things that I should make every vendor like you show me? Because they don't really know. They just go through the product demo. So they just go through the demo, but you need to know how should I be comparing? And they haven't, you know, not just sales enablement. I don't mean to just pick on them. There's a lot of solutions like that where they don't really help you and give you a lot of insight into how to make sense of it. We're starting to see more and more technologies come out in the value section. And again, that's content. That's partly due to the sales enablement movement and being able to match personas and to be able to talk to a company based on what they look like, their industry, their size, maybe their profitability levels, what's going to provide value to them. And there are companies now that are coming out with that. May even be ROI types of tools, but it's other tools. I mentioned earlier the white space mapping. There's tools like Revigy and Membrane and others that allow you to go in and say, how much revenue should we be getting from these people and why? What's going to provide the value for them so that we know how to spend our time and what to say? And then we're starting to see more and more on the other levels as well. Will we get to 5,000 like MarTech? I don't know. I don't think so. Marketing encompasses so much more than sales, is my gut. Right? We are seeing some consolidation. We're seeing, for instance, Callidus Cloud. I don't know if any of you have heard of them, but they were just bought by SAP for $2.4 billion. There's also a lot of private equity companies that are now gobbling up some of these smaller companies. ClearSlide was bought. Exactly. Sales Compensation, they were bought recently as well. I wouldn't call them a small company, but they are a niche company. So there's a lot of movement in providing not just individual tools, but platforms, so that you're not having to piece together tools that are going to work for you. That's a big problem that we hear, is salespeople don't want to log into a lot of different tools, nor should they have to. Right now, I would say one of the questions you should ask vendors is, what is it compatible with? Not just CRM, beyond CRM, that's a given. It should work in my Salesforce, or it should work in whatever solution I'm using. My reps should be able to get to it there. But more importantly, if they're in email, which by the way, they spend half their time in email. If they're in email, can I get to what I need to get to? Can I get to my sales enablement content through email? Make them talk to you about the integration with other apps that fit into the entire workflow of a sales rep, not just the CRM space. I'm trying to think of some other guidance I can give to you. The other thing is, research has shown that there is about, I don't know, there's like 3 or 4 different research studies, in fact, that all coalesce around the same number, and that's 35% of a sales rep's time is actually spent in front of or engaging with a salesperson. So then it begs the question, what are they doing the other 65% of the time? And some of you might think, well, they're messing around, they're on Facebook or whatever, and there's probably some of that. But they're also doing things like preparing to tell their boss, give them an update on all the different accounts and where the different opportunities are, which is not a good use of a salesperson's time. And this might be going a little bit outside of the marketing, but you can still think about, well, what are the tools we're offering them as a marketing organization, and what kind of burden are we putting on them? Are we giving them an additional burden that's going to take away from the sales, their sales time as much as it gives back to it? If you go from 35% of a sales of your time spent selling to 50% of your time spent selling, anyone want to guess how much of an increase that is? It's 43%. Pardon? in time spent selling. So if you go from 35 to 50, it's a 43% bump. But that's the interesting thing is, well, what is the impact for revenue? And if you say, well, I've got a rep right now, and she's spending 35% of her time selling and the rest of the time doing all this other stuff she's got to do to move the deals forward and to do the administrative and forecast and all of that, if I can move her, she's getting $1 million from her territory, if I can give her back 15 points, 43% more selling time, what does it do to revenue? Well, if she's making $1 million at 35, could she make $430,000 more if she had 50% of her time spent selling? Probably not a direct translation, but I'd take even half of that, right?
Who's paying for this?
Really good question. Good question. So the question is, who's paying for this? And who is figuring out what's needed? Is it marketing? Is it sales? It's a lot of it is marketing. I will tell you, not a lot of it is sales. It may be marketing ops. It might be sales ops. It might be sales enablement. It might be a sales leader. We did a word cloud on job descriptions of different people in the sales role, if you're a sales executive or if you're a sales ops or sales enablement. And of course, they had all kinds of things that they did as part of their description. And tools was always just one little mention. So it gets lost. Nobody's strategically thinking about the types of technologies that they need. And some that's got to change if you want to really get that revenue lift. That's got to change. It can't be another question that I wince at a little bit when I hear is, well, what's new and exciting? Because the reason I don't like that is because that doesn't matter. What matters is that you have the basics covered. And we're still so far away from having the basics covered because no one has on their job description, or I will say, you know, well, I would say no one has on their job description on the sales side. It's your responsibility and you'll be measured by how well you create a strategy, a technology that gives us a competitive advantage, a technology strategy to give us a competitive advantage. No one has that. Sales enablement as a profession is really moving up. I don't know if you've heard of the Sales Enablement Society, the nonprofit that started up about a year ago. Has anybody heard of that? Check them out, salesenablementsociety.org. Doing great work. And one of the best things is it's bringing marketers and sales enablement people together to have conversations. What are you doing? I don't know. You know, what are you doing? What are you doing that's working? And there's 23 chapters around the world already, so I'd encourage you to participate in those. What other questions? Yeah. So the question or comment is about the channel, because that adds another layer of complexity. If you're selling through the channel, you don't necessarily have direct control. You don't have direct control over that sales organization, and to top it off, they're selling other products as well, so you're buying for attention. It's so easy nowadays to put a sales enablement platform in place that will give those channel partners their own branding and access. There's always been partner enablement kinds of tools, but you can give, you know, a typical sales enablement solution and set it up for your channel partners. Not everybody has a 6 point something million budget. So a traditional sales enablement solution can work for you on the channel side as well. All right, thank you all for coming.
Thank you so much, Nancy. And I want to thank Nancy and the other speakers for all the hard work that they've put into putting their presentations together. It takes a lot to make a good session. So thank you.